that.
Okay, we're already throwing things. That's good. Joanne, can you bring up that bottle of water, please? I forgot it. Couple of things as we're getting started, a few disclosures, a few explanations. I am not a pastor. I just talk a lot. If you ever remember the movie Shrek, where Shrek has his donkey, and the donkey talks, and somebody one time looks at it and hears the donkey for the first time and says, "Wow, look at that, the donkey talks." And Shrek says, "Yeah, it's getting him to shut up that's the problem." So, thanks. We'll try to be a little shorter than donkey this morning. As we're getting settled, we're going to look today at 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. We're going to take a break from our sermon at Summer in the Psalms, and here's why. When Andrew asked me if I wanted to preach and continue preaching on a psalm, I said, "Sure, I'll take Psalm 117. And he says, "Well, you can't. That's not on our calendar till the year 2024. He said, "Well, why do you want to do that one?" I said, "Because it only has two verses." I said, "I looked at Psalm 18, the next one. It's got 50 verses. I'm leaving that for you, the professional preacher." So we're going to take a little break today and talk about something that's important, I think, in the life of our church. It's important in the life of my wife and I. We're going to talk about hospitality. So it's an area of ministry that I think everybody is, as a Christian, you're called to it. We have a lot of people that leave every year. As you know, June 4th, Andrew preached the sermon on how to say goodbye well. But this is the time of year where we have a lot of new people. I've already met a lot of new people this morning. I want to talk about how we welcome people well and how you can be involved in this ministry of welcoming. So let's stand together as a sign of respect for God's word. I'm going to read from 1 Peter. And these are Peter's instructions to the church. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll be with us, especially be with me as we look at your word this morning to see how it applies to our lives, how we can be a people that are welcoming. We pray that you would open your word to us. It's only by your Holy Spirit that we can understand your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So if you're an outline person, here's your outline for today. We're going to look at four main points. We're going to look at what hospitality is. We're going to look at what hospitality is not. What are the benefits of hospitality? And the benefits are going to be, what are the benefits for you who do hospitality and for those that receive it? And then why you should do it. So there's your outline. So tell you a story about a guy. There's a book floats around periodically, I think, called The Rule of Saint Benedict. And it was written by Saint Benedict of Nursia about 1,500 years ago, and it contained the rules for living in the monastery community that he had founded. In chapter 53, he has instructions for a very specific role in the monastery, the porter in charge of answering the door. The porter's job is to open the door to the monastery when someone knocks. Not much of a job, you say, huh? Well, listen to this. There's a lot more to it. The porter is given very specific instructions. He's to sleep near the entrance of the monastery so he can hear and respond in a timely way when somebody knocks. The porter is to offer a welcome from God and, quote, as Benedict says, with the warmth and love of God. As soon as anyone knocks, the porter is to reply, "Thanks be to God. Your blessing, please." He's to say this before he even knows who's on the other side of the door. And then the porter is to make sure that the other monks know that the presence of a visitor in their midst, so they can join in extending the welcome. In contrast, there's a 20th century American, I'm sure she is, writer and satirist named Dorothy Parker, who's known for her wit and wisecracks. She used to answer her telephone with this greeting: "What fresh hell is this that you're bringing into my life?" So, how do you respond when somebody knocks on the door? Are you upset like Dorothy Parker is and see it as an intrusion in your life? Or are you going to say, "Thanks be to God, what's your blessing?" One of contemporary Benedictine authors continues to say that the way we open the door shows how we react to the world. So let's look at hospitality for a second here, and I know what happens as soon as I say that word. The blood pressure of every woman in this room just rose 20 points, and the men all of a sudden just all checked out. So guys, bear with me. You're going to get involved in this here in a few minutes as well. So we'll talk about it. The best part about hospitality is you get to control it. You do it on your schedule. You can involve your whole family. It can cost you as much or as little as you want it to cost monetarily, but there are great benefits to it. So here's the question that we're asking in the title of our sermon this morning. What's your sign? And I don't mean cheesy horoscope stuff that doesn't work, and I don't mean that bar pickup line that guys are always using in movies on girls. "Hey, what's your sign, baby?" We're talking about, what's a sign on your life? If you look at the sign on your life, what does it say? Does it say, "Welcome, you belong here, glad you're here"? Or is the sign on your life the opposite, that says, "You're not welcome"? What do you show to the rest of the world? Or when you think of hospitality, what do you think your table has to look like when you invite people over? Does your house have to look like this? That's our living room and dining room, by the way. You're all welcome to come over. Or does it have to look like this? Or are you okay with your table looking like this? And if you're really into hospitality, how about this one? Are you okay with paper plates? Those first couple of things are great. I mean, they're nice. If you're into Southern Living Magazine and Martha Stewart and all those kind of things, that's the kind of bar that they set, and that's what we kind of think hospitality has to be. My table's got to look like that. Everything's got to be cute and perfect, and you got to have, you know, all these Pinteresty things, you know, that look real cutesy on my table. And or I've got to have that big banquet table, but those things only exist in movies and in royal weddings and things like that. That's not the real world for us. Most of us live in those last two pictures, that simple, easy table that we just use every day, or if we're really lazy or we really don't feel like doing dishes, we use paper goods. That's the real world of hospitality that we want to talk about. It's not about worrying about what people think about you, what they think about your food. Ah, what are they going to think of my kids? My place is a mess. How many stars are they going to give me on Yelp when they write a review about my apartment? And my, I can't stand the pressure. I want to try to take the pressure out of hospitality this morning, and we want to talk about hospitality as a lifestyle, and that we can show to one another here in the church, but also outside the church. So let's look at a definition so we know what we're talking about. Hospitality is defined as the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers, the quality of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. Some words that are either used for it are warmth, friendliness, or accommodation. Opposites are entertaining, coolness, or unfriendliness. The Bible has a lot to say about hospitality. It's one of those verses. I did this week, you know, there's all these websites out there for pastors where if you need sermon stories and explanations, you can go and find stories and all these ideas. They've got, you know, worship has hundreds. Welcome and hospitality had about two. It's not a big topic in the Bible, so bear with me as we go through this. Some biblical passages, though, that speak specifically to the New Testament church about hospitality. Romans 12:13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Romans 16:23 talks about a specific person in the church named Gaius. It says, Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. John 3:18, we ought to therefore show hospitality to such people that we may work together in the truth. Did you know that hospitality is a requirement for leaders in your church? Look at Titus 1:7-11. You can look at it later. I don't think we have it on the screen. But Titus, when Paul was writing the list of requirements for officers and pastors, says this: since an overseer, parenthesis, pastor, elder, or deacon, manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Did you catch that? A pastor, a leader in the church, must be hospitable. Men, we're called to set the tone for the attitude of hospitality in our church. So what is hospitality from a biblical standpoint if it's different than this worldly entertaining stuff? In the Bible, hospitality is proactively seeking to welcome those that are new, the stranger, the marginalized. It's providing a warm home for the lonely and the visitor, the hurting. It goes far deeper than merely entertaining. In writing a recent article for the Gospel Coalition, author Bethany Jenkins puts it this way: hospitality is both an attitude of the heart and a practice of the hand. It seeks to turn strangers into friends through acts of welcome and generosity. But here's what biblical hospitality is not. We've already hinted at it. Biblical hospitality is not entertaining. Entertaining is often about impressing others. Hospitality is about serving others. Entertaining is often about the host. Oh, what are they going to think of me? Hospitality is about the guests. Entertaining is often shallow and superficial. Hospitality is about depth and authenticity. We can't have a sermon here at UCB, I don't think, without having some thoughts from Tim Keller from Redeemer Church in New York. And here's what he says about hospitality. He says, biblical hospitality is, first of all, an intentional lifestyle. An intentional lifestyle. Not something that just comes out on special occasions or on parties, if at all. It's also something to be extended to all people and just not to the people that you know. It also means more than just a few days of shelter and an open refrigerator. It means meeting all the needs of the person. Our deacons are here to help you with this, with acts of mercy and meeting needs. The church should be the place where hurting people find help and love, both physical, mental, and spiritual. Keller challenges the church with this. The bottom line is this: hospitality is about others. It's about the neighbor and even the enemy. Through these lenses, hospitality can be seen as the embodiment of the gospel. This implies that if the church misses out on hospitality, it will eventually miss out on the gospel. If the church misses out on hospitality, it'll eventually miss out on the gospel. And a church without a living, active gospel has no business being around. That's a pretty serious charge. So back to our outline. What are the benefits you get out of hospitality? Here's how I see it, and some others see it, that you benefit from hospitality. Number one, you get to remember the hospitality of God. God instituted hospitality in the Garden of Eden, starting in Genesis 3, where he visited with Adam and Eve daily, just like God wants to visit with us every day. You also change your perspective and your priorities. Remember, this isn't entertaining. This is about hosting and loving on people. You die to self and live for Christ by giving and serving others, especially those who may never be in a position to repay you. You become a conduit of God's hospitality, showing the love of God in a tangible way to someone who really needs it. And here's one of those verses. You know, there's some verses in the Bible that you just read it and you go, this is really weird. We're going to look at one of these here in a minute. Look at this one. It's on the screen for you, I hope. This is Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, that to me is one of those really interesting verses. All questions about that verse, hold them for 2 weeks. Pastor Andrew will be back and he'll be glad to explain it to you. I'm not saying if you have somebody to your house that you're going to host an angel for lunch that day, but you may. Abraham did it in Genesis 18. Lot did it in Genesis 19. Gideon did it in Judges 6. But even if you don't host an angel, you will host a person that's made in the image of God, just as we are. And who knows? You may have the message of hope or that listening ear that that person needs at that moment. So how do others benefit if you show hospitality? Sometimes they experience an example of the hospitality of God, perhaps for the first time. You could be that conduit that shows what a Christian is. Bethany Jenkins continues this way and says, people are almost always loved, not argued, towards faith. We sometimes think the life of a Christian starts with conversion, then community, then discipleship. In reality, though, it usually starts with community. We first get to know some Christians. Then coming to faith seems plausible, in spite of our initial objections. Sometimes conversion takes years. When we build authentic, hospitable relationships with our colleagues and friends and others, we begin to embody the truth of the gospel with our lives, even if we don't immediately share it with our words. In our relationally broken culture, being a true friend is a rare thing. If you're new at a school, a workplace, church, what's the first thing you look for? You want a friend. You want somebody that recognizes you, that at least acknowledges you and says, ah, I see you. You're new, aren't you? I haven't met you. That's what we all want. What can I do to help you? Remember, friends, for most of us, this is not our home city. We're visitors here. We all have been that first week somewhere, at work, at school, here, where we just want somebody to reach out and say, hey, I see you. I recognize. I don't know your name yet, but I will. Let's get together. Let's do something. So why should you do this? It's not just a biblical mandate. As we've talked about, there are biblical verses that say we should. But let me tell you a story about you and about me. The reason we should do biblical hospitality is because we are the receivers of the ultimate gift of hospitality. For you see, the grace of God is a demonstration of his hospitality. God showed his grace and welcomed sinners not because of our goodness, but because of his love. We owe our eternal lives to grace. It's his welcoming to undeserving sinners. Ephesians 2 puts it this way, speaking to all of us. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You were an outsider. You weren't welcomed. The no trespassing sign was on the door, pointed at you. But then the two most important words that appear a lot in the Bible occur: but God. The ultimate act, you see, of hospitality was when Jesus Christ died for sinners, to make everyone who believes a member of the household or God, of God. We're no longer strangers. We have access to the household of God. We're welcome there, just like everybody who trusts in Jesus. Why did God do it? Why did he send his only son to die so that sinners could have hospitality? Ephesians 1 says this, "He predestined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace." He did it for grace. Ephesians continues in chapter 2, "By grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God." The ultimate foundation of Christian hospitality is God's unwavering demonstration of his grace by welcoming sinners who only deserve his wrath, but instead, we become the recipients of his welcoming hospitality. If you don't know Jesus this way, if you don't have a relationship with God that's based on that shed blood of Christ that welcomes you into the house of God, talk to me afterwards. Talk to Brian, to Brett, some of the other elders. We'd love to talk to you about it. Okay, so there's all the theory. Now, you're going to say, okay, how do we do this? So let me give you some ideas. Here's how you can practice hospitality in your daily life, sometimes, and once in a while. Okay. Daily, how can you practice it, whether you're at work, at school, in your neighborhood, living in your apartment or in your complex? When you see other people, just greet them. Ask how they're doing. Not in that, hey, how are you? Buenos tardes. You know, ask about them. Meet some of the folks that you live with. Invite them to come to church. We're a pretty friendly bunch. Kids, students, if you see a new kid at school, invite them to sit with you. Ooh, there's radical stuff. Some of y'all like to go to the gym. I'm personally on a 5-year best streak of not going to the gym, but that's okay. Some of you like to do that. Take somebody to the gym with you. Go out for coffee. No shortage of that here. There's a lot of things you can do. These are just a few simple things. This is things you can do every day. How about this one? Sometimes have meals together with people that are your friends or that you don't know. Invite somebody from the church that you don't know. Invite others to go out with your family on a group outing or an event. Remember, here's a tip. Take advantage of the hundreds of 3-day weekends that we have here in Columbia and invite somebody to do something with you. The last 6 weekends were 3-day weekends or something like that. Use that time. Use it for good. Here's another tip. And it's starting to happen. We're all hungry after church. This is a great time to get together with folks. Did you know that the website TripAdvisor says that there are 200 restaurants within a quarter mile of this church? That's about 4 years worth of new restaurants right there. Invite somebody to go with you. Let me tell you a story about the Copley family that just left us for their new assignment. They were really good about doing this. Most Sundays after church, they'd go out to a restaurant, and they'd invite people to go with them. Sometimes they knew the person, sometimes they didn't. It was just their way to extend hospitality, meet people, get to know their stories. You know, the other good part about going to lunch with the Copleys? Most of the time, they paid the check. Gosh, I really miss them. But if you can't go out to a restaurant, put a roast or something in at home in the oven before you go. Have a casserole ready. Invite somebody over. We're not talking Martha Stewart. We're talking just inviting people over. Now, I know you have kids, and Sunday's not a good time to do this kind of stuff. So what other events do kids do? Play dates, sleepovers, game days, movie nights, all those kinds of things. Just invite people to come hang with you. The one that's the most challenging for a lot of us is this last one. It goes in the category that Keller called extended stay. If you have a room in your house, open it to those that need a place to stay. Now, don't be silly. We're not talking about inviting criminals in off the streets. But how about those new to UCB that might need a place for a night or two? Or those whose house is under repair? or new interns that are coming to work at the church, or visiting missionaries. Now, many of you know that we were just in the U.S. for 2 months, and while we were there, we stayed in 6 different houses, which meant 6 different beds. Nashville, Tennessee, Dallas, Texas, Scottsdale, Arizona, Plano, Texas. If people hadn't opened their homes to us, we wouldn't have had a place to stay. And one of those was a missionary house from a church, but all the rest were with people and friends, including some people that are friends of ours that are non-believers. They opened their house to us and let us stay there. So here's your list. If you're a list person, get ready. These are going to come at you fast and furious. Here's my ideas. This is not all-encompassing. This is not the wisdom of Oz from on high. These are just my ideas. How can you do this at UCB? How do we show hospitality to one another? First of all, youth groups are going to start up again on Friday nights here in the fall. They're always looking for somebody to buy the food for them or prepare it and bring it. There's a way to show hospitality to our next generation. Get to know those folks. Offer to host a Bible study or a small group in your home. As Benedictine said, become a greeter. Greeters are the first people that visitors meet at UCB. Where's our greeter extraordinaire? Kim is wonderful at that. If you've come through the door at UCB, you've been greeted by Kim. What an opportunity to say welcome to new folks and make them feel comfortable. Greeting is far more than just handing them a bulletin and say, yeah, get in, come on, I'm getting ready to start. Become an usher. Ushers do a lot more than just help folks find a seat. What ushers say to people is, yeah, we've got room for you right over here. Let me show you. Welcome. We're glad you're here. As was said in the announcements that Brian did, Robert Griffiths is in charge and sent a survey out. It's sitting right over there. Please talk to Robert. Ushering and greeting, it's not a whole lot of talent required. I can do them, so you know it's an easy job. But Robert will show you how to do it right. Talk to him. Get involved. Here's what John Piper tells his church. He says this to his church. When the benediction is over and the music hopefully starts, you should turn on your PWHR. That's your post-worship hospitality radar. A good PWHR picks up new or distressed people within a 10 or 15-foot radius of where you're sitting, sometimes even further. Now, usually you can't get to all of them, but if we all went to someone, this place would be alive and electrified with post-worship hospitality. This is the time for conversation. It's the spillover of worship into words of welcome. It's according to Piper. And then remember, here at UCB, invite people to stay for the coffee hour. Most everybody drinks coffee. Here's a couple more things you can do. We'll get a little more personal and practical here. Don't rush out the door as soon as the service is over. Stay and visit. Have coffee. If you don't like coffee, have water. Meet someone. Watch the kids play on the playground. Enjoy your church family. Talk with someone you don't know. There's lots of interesting stories among our church family, and you're missing out if you don't hear some of them. Here's where I'm going to put on my elder hat. And not to be mean, but I just want to... Paul and Peter call this elder exhortation, or exhortation, one of the two. I don't know. Or extortion. I don't know which it is. One of those words. Some of you have a habit of coming to church late and leaving immediately. Now, I know there are weeks where that has to happen, your job, whatever. When our kids were little, we were famous for having the 9 a.m. Sunday morning exploding diaper, where you're all set to walk out to church, and then the diaper explodes, the kid vomits all over themselves, everybody's got to change clothes, and you're late. Things happen. I know that. But hear me, please, if you're late consistently and constantly to church, look at what's in your life that's making you do that. Change your habits. Change your priorities a little bit. Okay, enough of that elder stuff. Let me tell you about a church we went to recently. This is a true story. I cannot make this stuff up. We went to a church in Dallas where we'd been before. We knew a couple of people there, but not a whole lot. During the greeting time, we all stood up and the regulars began to talk and talk. And it was the longest greeting time in history. I think it went on for like 10 minutes. But you know what happened during that greeting time? Not one person turned around and welcomed us. We just kind of stood there for a while. We looked at each other. I greeted my wife so she didn't feel left out. She greeted me so I didn't feel left out. Then eventually we just sat down. It was like, okay. The problem is these folks thought they were being hospitable because they were talking to everybody they knew but weren't looking for those visitors. Friends, I hope this never happens to anybody at UCB. It used to, years ago. But I hope it doesn't happen to anybody today. Don't ever let anybody leave here without being greeted. So let's conclude. Let's go back to our text because it's got a very interesting word we need to look at. And 1 Peter gives not only the command to be hospitable, but he tells you how to do it. 1 Peter 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Isn't that an interesting word, grumbling? Why does he put that word there? You know what it means to grumble? Grumbles means being annoyed, acting surly, muttering under your breath, planning the conversation you're going to have later with your spouse about why they invited those people over for lunch, complaining, wondering why these people are still in my house when all I really want to do is take a nap or watch the game. That's grumbling. We're called to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Have you ever watched somebody do something because they had to and not because they wanted to? Visit any retail store, especially a large department store in the United States, and you'll see what I mean. People are doing their job, and they'll help you, but usually it's because they have to. There's no joy in it. It's a job. You know, I don't really care about you. You're just, I have to take care of you because you're standing in front of my cash register. Our attitude should be different. We should have the attitude or the mindset of, I care about you as a person. So let's conclude here with a couple of little points, and then we'll sing. First of all, don't let hospitality scare you. Don't let it raise your blood pressure. Don't make it cause your inner Martha Stewart to think it has to come out. Don't let hospitality be reserved just for your family or friends. Use it as a chance to meet new folks. And don't let it be reserved only for holidays or special occasions. As Keller said, make it a lifestyle. So here's my question for you as we get ready to sing and go out into the world today and even into our courtyard with each other. What's your sign? What's the sign on your head and your heart? Are you saying to others, go away, not interested? Or are you saying, welcome, I'm Richard, I'd like to get to meet you? Because remember, brothers and sisters, you're a recipient of the greatest hospitality ever given, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, where God said to his enemies, welcome, believe in my Son, and come in. Thanks be to God. Your blessing, please. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are recipients of a welcoming that we didn't deserve. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were outside of your family, you rescued us from sin and brought us into an eternal welcoming relationship with you. Father, may we not be put off by hospitality. May we be looking for folks to be involved with. May it become a lifestyle. May it be a way that we use to glorify you and to bring others to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.